Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Folks, everybody, I'm messing it up already. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, everybody. It is a great day in the city of Chicago. The sun is coming out. The sun is actually out. But people are about in jackets and stuff. It's a little cool. Wind is blowing. I'm in my studio here near the lake on the north side of the city. Some people might say a safe zone, but actually, no, I don't think there's a safe zone in the city of Chicago because things can happen to you, to anybody, at any time, anywhere, any point. But anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I don't want to get off on a tantrum here or a rant. And I do sometimes, and I love to have guests with the same kind of passion or with their own. You know, a lot of guests bring their own passion to the show, and that's always fine. That's great. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see what we got. My guest today is Georgia Woodbine. Okay, it sounds like a wonderful name for a wonderful individual. And we'll find out what she has to offer and why we should pay attention and why we should even bother to listen. All right. The George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to get this off my shoulder right now. I'm looking at something, reading something here, and it's saying that, where was it? Okay, the Supreme Court of Russia bans Jehovah Witnesses and labels the group as extremist. Okay, religious organization can no longer operate in the country. The Supreme Court rules, in addition to ordering headquarters and local chapters to be closed. Wow, Jehovah Witnesses in Russia are no longer wanted and can no longer operate. That's not what's going on in America. They're all over the place. I mean, you know, I have nothing against them. I've had some Jehovah Witnesses on my show, and most of them, most of the people that I've had on my show had nothing but bad things to say about the organization. Some even called it a cult, you know. And you know, I've had a few people here or there try to influence me into giving my soul to to this organization, and I said, no way. You know, people come around. I see some of these people standing on the corner with their Watchtower magazines and all this kind of thing, and Watchtower is the organization who is behind all the Jehovah Witnesses material and a lot of other things, probably criminal activity, probably. And I couldn't see myself, you know, being a part of this organization. I have nothing against the people who have tried. That's one of the works they have to try to do, is get you hooked on that organization, to bring you in And no, not me. I'm not saying this, and I'm not criticizing people who are already in it. It just wasn't for me. Because I didn't think of myself as wanting to be controlled, told what to do, told what to say, told when to sit down, told when to stand up, you know, told who to talk to, told what to say, told what not to say, and who I can say it to. I just didn't feel like I wanted to do those kinds of things. And then they're asking me for money and asking me for my presence at Kingdom Hall. After telling me all the things that I can't do because, you know, I'm going to rot in hell and they're all going to go to heaven. You know, we're monsters, we're heathens and, you know. But anyway, Russia bans Jehovah's Witnesses and labels the group extremist. You know, whatever happened to freedom of religion in that country? You know, but in the United States, it's in the Constitution. You know, you can be a part of any religion that you want, even that's your prerogative. If you feel as though you want to be controlled, manipulated, and give your hard-earned money to these kinds of organizations who do nothing but tell you what you can't do while you are part of their organization. And I could never there's some talk about Scientology too. A lot of people are escaping Scientology, you know, because it's the same thing. Mostly they're trying to control you, tell you what to think, tell you how to think, tell you where to go, where to sit, where to stand, who to talk to, who you can't talk to. If you talk to the wrong kinds of people, you will become disfellowship or maybe kicked out of the organization because you were seen and heard talking. Even your relatives, a lot of these cults like Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even want you talking to your relatives, your sister, your siblings, you know what I'm saying? Your nieces, your nephews, you know, and I just cannot go along with somebody telling me what I can do and can't do. This is my fucking life. You don't tell me what I can do and what I can't do. You don't control me. Okay, so I'm going to rot in hell. Then let me rot in hell, knowing that I've gone to hell, in control of my own life. You know, I don't know if there's a heaven up there. I don't know if there's a hell. You know, so, yeah, that's the way I feel about it. Like I said before, I've had people on the show who have came on this show in the past and talked about the atrocities and sometimes the madness of Jehovah's Witnesses. I've researched it, and there were some things I didn't like, but you know, I'm not a part of any religious organization. I'm not criticizing people who are, but if you want to give your life to some organization like that and they treat you like garbage, then that's up to you. That's up to you. But you can't tell me that I should like it. You can't force me to try to be a part of something like that. I like being in charge of my life. I like being independent. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to be told who I can talk to, who I can speak to, where I can go, what I can write, what I can't write, what I can read, what I cannot read. That is not on my agenda. If you want to do that, then you go right ahead, but not me. If you want to say that I'm going to rot in hell because of it, then let me rot in hell, knowing that I'm going to hell being in control of my own life, not going to hell being controlled by some cult, some organization that tells me in so many ways that I'm going to go to hell and the rest of everybody's going to go to heaven. One of the things about Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't celebrate, from my standpoint, they don't celebrate birthdays. They don't even celebrate holidays. They don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate Easter. And yet they believe in Jesus. They call him Jehovah. Yet they believe in, I don't understand that. You know, I mean, so if you have a family member and they have a birthday, you know, you can say happy birthday, but they're not going to acknowledge it. You know, and if you have a birthday, they're not going to acknowledge it. Which is, all of this is stupid. I think, from my standpoint, I think it's stupid. I think it's ignorant. I think it's childish. I think it's just crazy. But you got people like that. You got people like that. You've got people who have been a part of the Jehovah's Witness organization for 20 and 30 years. Some kids are brought up in it. Some children are brought up into it from their parents. I mean, they're born into it. They're born into the Jehovah's Witnesses lifestyle because their parents are lifestyle, and their parents raised their children to be Jehovah's Witnesses. And then some of the kids, when they grow up and become adults, they realize that their life is not their own, and they try to find a way of getting out of it, but it's not that easy. It's not that easy. So I'm just trying to say here is that Russia, Supreme Court of Russia, bans Jehovah's Witnesses and labels the group as extremists. But I don't think nothing, you don't have to worry about it. If you're a Jehovah's Witness out there or you know some Jehovah's Witnesses, don't worry. That is not going to happen in the United States because the United States Constitution says that everybody has a right to their own religion without without you can't hinder somebody's religion. You can't hinder them from their religion within the United States. Okay, but I just wanted to bring that to you folks out there because I'm just not seeing it. You know, I'm looking at it on Facebook and I'm saying, wow, this is surprising because when I was coming on the radio, I wasn't coming on the radio to lead off talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. It's just that I've been affiliated with some people who are a part of this organization. And I've had people on the show that really, really were saying that they were glad that they've gotten out of the group, out of the organization because of certain kinds of behavior was bestowed upon them that they didn't think they deserved. You know, so I've had people on the show and I've talked about Jehovah's Witnesses. Matter of fact, I got a clip here on the board that I've been having up here for a couple of years now. You know, so if I have anybody on the show to talk about Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, that they can relay back to that clip that I'm going to play sometime. Anyway, that's what's here, folks. That's a part of the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, Oval Office. Okay, let's get past that one. Okay, let's get past that one. Okay, the Oval Office. Yeah, this is something. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's in there. We've got, and it says here that the Oval Office, some people came by the Oval Office today. So I guess he invited some people to the White House. And three of those folks that he invited were Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, and Sarah Palin. All of these three people, and probably more, but these three people, they stand out because Ted Nugent, if anybody's been following Ted Nugent, you know that this guy is a staunch racist, a staunch bigot, a staunch hater of African Americans, every group of people you can think. This guy is a hater. This tells you what kind of people Trump deals with. Sarah Palin, we all know her as a lightheaded buffoon. We all know she doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't even know how to talk. But she is been invited to the White House, and a lot of people are criticizing these people for being in the White House. I'm criticizing these people. These people should not be in the White House. But Donald Trump is in the White House. So he figured Donald Trump is saying, well, I'm president. You're not. I can invite anybody I want, even if they're racist and haters and the Ku Klux Klan. And that is straight up what they are. And a lot of people are criticizing this move. Okay. One guy on Facebook says, Ted Nugent is the true insult to our country. And I agree with that. This guy, he can't sing. He can't play. He can only talk spew his racism throughout America, and he has done it. He has done it. And Sarah Palin is basically, I agree with him, a simple-minded twit. This tells you what kind of people Donald Trump wants around him. And it also tells you what kind of person he really is. And I agree. This is a middle finger to the American people. He's going down soon and he knows it. And I hope this young lady, my friend is right about this when she says this. Yeah, but I don't know if Donald Trump is going to go down. I mean, you have the Republicans who are enabling him. The Republicans are only keeping Donald Trump around because they want Donald Trump to get through their agenda through Congress. He's going to do it. They're basically, in my thinking, is that they're using Donald Trump to get their agenda, their legislation through Congress. They're using him. And after they're done with him, they're going to impeach him. But right now, the Republicans are totally aiding and abetting Donald Trump. They are with him. If this would have been an African-American, a liberal, he would have been impeached long time ago. This would have not gotten this far if this had been a Democrat. It would have not gotten this far. But Donald Trump is a buffoon. He's going to get us all blown up, some people fear. And he's inviting these haters, these racists, these bigots to the White House. It is saying, fuck America. These are the people who are coming to the Donald Trump seemed to forget that the White House belongs to the people of America. The White House is every American's house, and we have a right to bitch and to criticize who visits the White House. Who visits the White House? He's got these racists in the White House. This is crazy. This is crazy. Then you got Kellyanne Conway, her feet and knees all up on the couch in the Oval Office, like she's a two-bit hooker or something. She looked like a two-bit hooker in the White House. These people are just defacing the Oval Office. They are just destroying the White House. We can't wait to get these people out. Someone wrote that every one of these people in the White House, every part of Donald Trump's team in the White House should be thrown out. I totally agree. These people are acting like the White House, the Oval Office, is their playground. Seriously. I mean, they act as if they've got all the candy that they want and they're having a good time in the White House. People in the White House that should not be in the White House. Defacing the Oval Office, making it look like a brothel of something. You got all these assholes should be thrown out on their asses. And I agree with one of my friends when she wrote that we should have somebody out there. There should be a leader out there who is taking this all to Donald Trump and his clown team. That we don't want this. But you know what? Donald Trump does not give a damn what we want. He does not give a damn about what we think. He don't give a damn. He just don't care. He said it. And he acts like it. And he doesn't. This is why I think we need a leader like Martin Luther King to come out and just, we need somebody to come out and just blast Donald Trump and this administration every day for the things, the rotten, low-down things that they do. Things like fuck America, screw the people. I don't care who gives a damn what they think. I'm president. You're not. You know, I do things my way. This is Donald Trump. We need somebody to come out and just be on the side of the people. We have no one out there. At first, I thought it might have been Bernie Sanders, and I thought it might have been Hillary Clinton, but these people are not it. I wanted to be a Barack Obama to come out here and stand up for the American people, because whether you like it or not, he's the one. Barack Obama is the one who left us with Donald Trump. He left us with Donald Trump, whether it was his fault or not, whether Donald Trump was created by Obama or not. Trump is about to destroy this country with these kinds of people in the White House. And just think he can just have anybody over that he wants to, even racists, the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists. He has all these people inside of the White House, and we're supposed to like it because he doesn't give a damn if we don't like it. Someone was saying the other day, George, this should be a coup. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, but I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. I used to be able to confirm or to predict. I don't know what's going to happen now. Every day there's something new with Trump. The other day, he and his team gave out the wrong information to where some of these ships were going. And they're saying that we're the ones that's stupid. Another lie, if you know what I'm talking about. It's another lie, another lie. You know, so I don't know how this is going to turn out, folks. And it's just awful. Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, and Sarah Palin, three of the most racist people in the world, three of the most white supremacist kind of people in the world, you know, to the liars. These people are like him. We got racists in the White House. You know, I mean, these people are just defacing the Oval Office and getting away with it. Getting away with it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's my rant, folks. My guest is today is on the George Wilder Jr. Show, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, author Georgia Woodbine. I'm such a fickler for names. Author Georgia Woodbine. I had a childhood friend named Georgia. All righty. I totally agree. I think Congress will support Trump when the chips are down. They'll support Trump when the chips are up. They are aiding and abetting this guy. And he's going to be their downfall. You got some representatives and maybe some senators who are thinking of resigning because of Trump. Their constituencies are getting in their asses because of Trump. And I don't know what to say. I don't know if he's going to do, excuse me, folks. I don't know if he's going to do four years or 2 years or a few months. I don't know anymore because Trump is always trying to team. They're always trying to change what we're talking about. They're always trying to do that, you know, especially if we're talking about the investigation into Russia ties with meddling in the U.S. elections. The Trump administration is going to find a way to make us get us to talking about something else. And he successfully is doing it. He's doing it. Because he's the president of the United States, and a lot of the things he says and does make news, and you talk about them. You talk about them. Okay, they found that teacher and that 15-year-old girl. I think they found them in Tennessee. Was it Tennessee? Let's see. All right, it says... All right, Tennessee Amber Alert over Ted Cummings, Elizabeth Thomas found in California. Oh, California. A Tennessee teacher and a teenage former student He was suspected of kidnapping were found in Northern California on Thursday, ending a manhunt that stretched on for more than a month. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigations announced. Wow. And that's a lot of, I've been hearing that a lot. I've been reading things like that a lot, that these teachers, some of these teachers, not, we got a lot of great teachers in these schools. We got a lot of dedicated teachers in these schools. And yet we have a lot of bad apples in some of these schools. You know, I hear about teachers sexually harassing or sexually molesting their own students, the students that they're teaching. And a lot of teachers go to jail. I mean, you got bad police officers, you got bad people here and there, and you got bad teachers in school, you know, and they're lusting after their own, the kids they're teaching. And sometimes the kids are lusting after the teachers. Because, I mean, when I was in high school, I wasn't lusting after her, but I liked her. I was in love with my homeroom teacher. I really was. Her name was Raven. Not Raven, but Reagan. I think it was Reagan. R-E-G-A-N, Reagan. We called her Miss Reagan. She never knew. I don't think she ever knew it, but the shoe was on the other foot. You get a lot of teachers nowadays in the 21st century, 2017, a lot of teachers going to jail for rape of their own students, the kids that they're teaching. They're going to school for rape. And just think how many teachers, men and women, in some of these schools who are actually lusting after these kids every day, but they never touch them, but they lust after them in their minds. I think that a lot of that's going on. And a lot of, there was a teacher, doesn't remember her name, but she had raped one of her underage students that she was teaching. They caught her. And in her mugshot, she was a beautiful woman. She was a beautiful young woman. And they were saying that she was proud of what she did. I mean, she was, she had a mugshot that went out all over the damn world. And she was just as, she was smiling her ass off. Wow, I'm going to be famous. Yeah, you're famous, all right. You're famous in prison. And a lot of these people, a lot of these young teachers ruin their own lives. Their own lives become ruined because they can't seem to control themselves, you know, especially in a teaching environment. You had a lot of gym teachers go to jail because they were touching their students the wrong way and stuff like that, you know. So it's just horrible. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about making the world a better place. And some people would call this day right here, April 20th, some people would have called it Happy Marijuana Day, if you're into that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm an ex-marijuana smoker. I don't do that thing anymore. I just don't. I don't think I need it. But yeah, I used to suck down marijuana. a marijuana cigarette, and it was cool back then, but now I don't think it's too cool. I mean, I was a teenager, and I was a teenager, young adult, and so we did things like that, but you know, it was sort of an experience for me. But some people are calling this Happy Marijuana Day. You know, I don't know if I approve of it. I'm just saying what they're doing, what they're saying. All right, 6:28 Chicago time, 6:28 p.m. It's beautiful outside. They say it's going to get colder later on in the week. So it's kind of a bummer for that, you know, to get colder. You know, I mean, it should be getting warmer, you know. I mean, because, hey, wow, next month it's May, right? And it doesn't feel like it, at least going forward. It doesn't too much feel like it, but I got a feeling that it's going to get better. All righty. In Paris, police officer dead after shooting in Paris claimed by ISIS. So this is supposed to be a terrorist attack that just taken place in Paris. The Interior Ministry spokesman, Paris Henry Bandit, said that the gunman got out of a car near the officers and opened fire. Ah, the violence in the world, it's just never ending. Now they're showing scenes outside of in Paris where one police officer has been killed in a shooting and the attacker taken down, according to CNN. Okay, so this guy is in custody. Hopefully he'll give them some answers. But anyway, ISIS is claiming that this is an attack, that they're claiming that they did this. Well, we'll find out. We will find out. And wow, the London, France, these attacks in that country and in those cities are just happening too often. It's just happening too often. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's been a great, it's Thursday, April 20th, with you podcasting the show a little later. You'll know that this is a earlier show up for this time. I've got a lot of podcasts up there. I think I got about 336 podcasts. It was more than that, but I had to delete some of the shows because they were a poor quality, or they did, something wasn't right there. So, but general respect, I've got 336 podcasts. So any one of those podcasts, folks, if I'm not on the air live, you can always listen to those podcasts, and they're just as good as my live shows that are actually live.
During an interview with Politico that was posted online this week, White House advisor, White House aide, whatever you want to call her, White House spokesperson maybe, Kellyanne Conway, took a shot at her critics once again. She told Politico that her critics were, quote, unhappy people with poison keyboards. I guess what she's trying to say is that they're a bunch of internet trolls going out there and just saying mean old things to Kellyanne, who really isn't doing anything wrong. She doesn't understand why people are being so mean and horrible to her these days. Now, according to this interview that she gave with Politico, she had explained to her children that, yeah, look, mommy's going to be doing this thing. People are going to come at her. It's going to be, pretty ugly sometimes, but just deal with it. To be honest, that is a very good thing to tell your children. Yeah, when you're in the public spotlight, there's going to be the naysayers. But if she took the time to explain that to her children, maybe she should have taken the time to explain to her children that, hey, listen, mommy's going to have to go on TV and lie through her teeth to the American public about things that never happened. She is the one who came up with the term alternative facts. She's the one who invented the Bowling Green massacre that never happened. So I understand nobody likes to get criticized, but Kellyanne, you're inviting this on yourself. The people who criticize you, who call you out, are not unhappy people. I can tell you firsthand, I'm a very happy person. I love my life right now. But I will continue to criticize you anytime you feel the need to go on television and lie to the American public on behalf of Donald Trump. Anytime you make up a fake terrorist attack, we're going to be there, as will everybody else online. And it's not because we just dislike you. It's because we don't want you to continue to dumb down the United States. This is our civic duty, to hold you and everyone else in your White House accountable. So you may think it's fine to go out there and give these interviews and attack the people who you claim are attacking you, but the truth is, all we're doing is trying to hold you accountable and, to be honest, try to undo some of the damage that you're inflicting on the public today. There are Republicans out there in the United States today who, honest to God, believe that the Bowling Green Massacre was a thing, that it happened, that it was carried out by Iraqi immigrants, and that U.S. citizens died as a result of it. And that's all on you, Kellyanne. You're poisoning the public discourse. It's not the people who dislike you. They don't have the problems. You do. And you need to learn, and you need to take the time to teach your children that when you screw up, you do get held accountable. When you lie to hundreds of millions of people, they're going to come after you. And the only way you can make it right is to go out and apologize and try to do the right thing from that point forward. That's what you need to learn. But honestly, I don't think you ever will. You're very happy being a stooge for Donald Trump. You have no problem going out in the media and just literally making things up. It must be nice to live in a world where you don't have to bother with things like research. You can just immediately go out there, say whatever you want. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You don't care. You just move on to the next interview. While the rest of us have to pick up the pieces and undo the damage that you cause every time you put your face in front of a camera. If you like this video, make sure you like, comment, share, and most importantly...
All right, thank you very much for that. Bye. All right, a little bit of Prince there, and there was some news about him earlier in the week, saying that he had all kinds of drugs all over his home, you know, and, you know, and there was probably somebody who was also complicit in his death, taking all kinds of drugs that were not prescribed to Prince, but prescribed to someone else. And there was drugs everywhere. So just like Michael Jackson, Prince also died of an overdose of drugs, whether it's illegal or legal drugs. There's a comparison there. So two great stars overcame enormous frustrations to get to where they were. Basically, I think committed suicide, you know, but there was help. There was help. And one of the things about them dying is that they're still here with us. Their music is still here. I mean, I was listening to some Michael Jackson this morning, even though, you know, I do enjoy all types of music, not just the raunchy music, not just, I enjoy a lot of music. I enjoy Frank Sinatra. I enjoy Dean Martin. I enjoy listening to Sammy Davis Jr., some of the old, Sammy Davis Jr. I enjoy Motown, a lot of the things on Motown. I'm still a fan of James Brown, like I've always been. And I like jazz. I mean, I am a music fan. I used to be in a band, had my own band years ago as a teenager. And so I'm really into music. I love music, all kinds of music. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm into Tchaikovsky. I like Beethoven, Mozart. I mean, everything. I mean, it's music. It's creative. And I like anything that's creative, because when you're being creative, you got to be really, really talented to be creative. So I just love all kinds of music. So don't stick one kind of music. I mean, I could be dancing to Quincy Jones or something like that, or grooving to Grover Washington Jr. Or I mean, I just love jazz, or listening to B.B. King or Eric Clapton. I mean, I'm just a music fan. I could go back and listen to Chubby Checker. It doesn't matter. Frank Sinatra. I mean, the classicals, Barbara Streisand, Shirley Bassey. You know, the woman who sings Goldfinger and a couple of more James Bond themes. I'm just a music fan. I used to be a singer myself, and I still think I can do, got a pretty good voice for it. But there's no money in it, so so we leave it alone, or we just do it because we enjoy doing it, you know. And I do listen to music, and I do create music for all the music basically you hear on the show. I've created, except for the ones that are obvious. But yeah, I love music. I always will love music. I think my son loves music too, but I think he has a different taste in music than I do. All right. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I'm on Amazon.com. I got a lot of stuff up there, folks. Check that stuff out. Books, stories, short stories, interest. I like to scare people. I mean, I got a few things up there called Dracula. And I got a fun out of writing it. Some of it's short. Some of it's kind of long. But, you know, I really got a thrill out of writing it. Some people, oh, George, that's junk. That's garbage. Why you write that? Because it was fun to write, and I enjoyed it. And I figure if I enjoyed writing what I write, then I know you're going to enjoy it. All right, let's call out some more books that were submitted to me. I'm probably going to call out a lot of the ones that I've done before, because it's just that they're in front of me, right? And for those books whom I didn't get to, I'm sorry about that. That's, maybe we can do it next time, a month or so from now. But let me call out some more books that were submitted to me on my website, on my Facebook page. A lot of people want me to call out their books on this show. Beautiful. Great. All right. Georgia Woodbine, however, did not make the show today, folks. So if you were looking for her and expecting her, she did not show. and she did not send me an email or anything saying that she was canceling. So there you go. But anyway, let me call out some more of these books, okay? All right, here we go. Rod Roberts, My Brother's Journey. This is also on Amazon. Okay, Rod Roberts. Okay. Or is it Dominique Wilkins? Dominique Wilkins on Rod Roberts. Anyway, it's on Amazon. Check it out. It's called My Brother's Journey. And there's another one called Baltimore Blues. I mean, when you submit your book to me to call out on the show, only submit one. I don't need to. Because basically when somebody goes to your Amazon page, they're going to see everything you've done. Even, you know, they're going to see everything you've done. So you don't have to submit more than one book to me. Because once your link is out there to your page for this particular book, once someone clicks on your link and your link comes up, it's going to show everything you've done. So you only need to submit one book, okay? All righty. Jess Stevens Hughes. His book is a bestseller. It's called The Sign Eagle. The Sign of the Eagle. Oh, wow. I can barely see that. It's The Sign of the Eagle. I'm sorry for the few days I've screwed it up. The Sign Eagle. The Sign of the Eagle. I could barely see that of the. So it was just, so if I screwed that up for the shows back, I apologize. But it's The Sign of the Eagle. I could barely see of the. So I just said The Sign Eagle because I'm sitting back from it. Anyway, it's The Sign of the Eagle by Jess Stephen Hughes on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Bestseller, the breathtaking historical novel of action and sequence is set in the year 71 AD amid exotic and vibrant streets of ancient Rome. Published by the Sunbury Press. All right, let's go on to the next one. No problem. Natasha Carman, The Red Karma, Red Karma, a memoir. Okay, Caroline James, author, Coffee, Tea, The Caribbean and Me. That's a great title. I like that. Amazon. Okay, a lot of the things I can't call off because I Want to Live, Patrick Feenan. I Want to Live. That's great. That reminds me of a book, another book. But I won't call it. I won't say anything about that. Okay, Patrick Feenan, I Want to Live, Amazon. Let's see what else we've got. Okay, we're going to have to go back up. I appreciate everybody submitting their books here. We're going to try to do it better. We're going to find a better way of doing it because this is my first time doing it this way. But we're going to find a better way of doing this, getting the make sure I get everybody who submit their link to me that I can call it out on the show. And we're going to do it a great next time. We're going to really, really do it. Okay, let's see what can we do here. All righty. We are looking, folks. We are looking, Mark. All right. All right. Madeline McLaughlin. And we got Neil James, short stories. We've talked about that yesterday. Okay. Mama Don't Like Ugly. Rekaya Gibson. That's a good one. I like that one. Richard McStay, Survivors, Amazon. Okay. Laurie Finch, Dark Past. C. Douglas Sterner. What is his book? Okay. It's on Amazon. Okay. Just look for his name. Tyler Mills. That's a great one. It's on Amazon. Destin. To Love Again. A love story. Lois Caring. Okay. Regina Gail Mixton. What is her book? She's on Amazon. I'll visit Amazon. Regina Gail Mixton page and shop for all of Regina Gail Mixton. Okay. All right. Nothing. It's Strange. Mike Russell. Terry Shames, Unsettling Crime for Samuel Craddock. Okay. All right. M.A. Simon, How to Reach Your Writing Goals Like a Pro on Amazon. Okay. All righty. Let's see. We got any more? Brenda K. Winters, The Fascinating Art of Raising Tropical Fish. If you're in that kind of thing, thank you. She's thanking me very much. Okay. Susan Keene, Finding Lizzie Smith, A Kate Nash Mystery. Okay, Lizzie Keene, 5-star, Amazon. Okay. All right. Jill Bonadonna. All right. Mad Shadows 2, Amazon. Mm-hmm. B.A. Dillon. Okay, well, she's got here several things. All right. Douglas Sandler. I need glasses. Douglas Sandler, Bad Memories. They didn't believe him at the asylum when he said he didn't do it, okay? And they sure as hell didn't believe him when, and it goes on. Check it out on Amazon, all right, folks? Ordra Duke. There are magazines in hell, revised, okay? I've been knowing her for a long time. She's been a Facebook friend for quite a while. Marcia Vance, Lighthouse Dreams, The Dream Series, Book 1. Okay, all righty. We'll get more into this as the show goes on, folks. We will be right back.
If we had a real president, not the president that made a speech last night where everybody fell asleep and what he said. Hey, look.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
It's time for Donald Trump to resign as president. Admittedly, it's been an interesting couple of days. But for any patriotic American capable of adding 2 and 2 and not getting 1.5 million, this is enough. If you voted for Trump or you support him now or you're saying give him a chance, again, I'm not going to yell at you or call you names. I'm not going to try to argue any policies. I'm not going to debate the size of his crowds nor whatever your conclusions are about Saturday's marches. In fact, I'm going to compliment you on your generosity toward him and the sincerity of your belief in his promises and your natural, your commendable desire to see him and thus see our country succeed. But this man is not of sound mind. In office, faster and more frighteningly than at any point in the campaign, over the span of just a long weekend, really, Trump has proved that not only will he lie to America about anything big or small, but that just as importantly, he will lie to himself about anything big or small. And more troubling yet, he will compel men, weaker even than himself, to lie on his behalf about anything big or small. And worst of all, the lies will convince some people, and they will convince one person, especially dangerous in particular, Donald Trump. Because what Trump does not believe cannot be true. And that way lies madness and lies every evil imaginable, including the end of this country in a literal sense, perhaps the end of civilization. Because like somebody who's strung out on drugs or somebody who's living in a complete dreamlike state caused by profound, pulsating narcissism, he will not believe that the outcome of any of his actions could be failure or disaster or even something that could be harmful to himself. A man who could accuse the Central Intelligence Agency of trying to undermine him and ask rhetorically of the conduct of that agency, quote, are we living in Nazi Germany? A man who could do that and then 10 days later go and stand in front of the shrine of its fallen agents and insist with a straight face, with every word he said and motion that he made suggesting he really believes this, he could say, quote, they sort of made it sound like I had a feud with the intelligence community, and I just want to let you know the reason you're the number one stop is it is exactly the opposite. A man who could insist to those same men and women at the CIA that it stopped raining the moment he started to give his inaugural address, when you saw the rain falling on him. That is the kind of man who could convince himself that it would be just fine to start a nuclear war, because of course he would survive the retaliatory attack, and so would his family, and so would whatever people he thinks are his friends, or to use his word, his fans. Of course they would all survive the retaliation, because he's Donald Trump. And bad things cannot happen to Donald Trump.
There is something there you can...
At the CIA, Trump told the agents there that he has, quote, a running war with the media. He does not have a running war with the media. He has a running war with reality. His reality is what he says it is. He has an advisor who came out and said Sunday that when you deliberately contradict reality, that is not lying or deceiving, but rather that's using, quoting her, alternative facts. You try alternative facts in your life for 1 hour. Let me know how it goes. Drive on whichever side of the road you want to. Stop wearing the safety glasses. Let the kids use the stove and the power tools. Write checks for money you don't have. Because ignoring the warnings and instructions is not courting a disaster. It's just a set of alternative facts. This is crazy.
Come on.
And even if, God willing, it never gets to the point where this kind of delusional thinking is employed during an international crisis or here at home during some kind of threat or disaster, even if Trump's ability to turn off reality like a light switch never actually threatens us and our children and all we know, what does it mean about that key promise that he made to you to unrig the system, to level the playing field, to never be beholden to Goldman Sachs, as he claimed his opponent was, like he promised, like he seemed to promise before he hired three people from Goldman Sachs and one from Wells Fargo and one from Rothschild Investments? You knew this before that speech at the CIA or this crazy argument about how big the crowds at the inauguration were or whether it was sunny and only he could see that it was sunny. You may have even known this before you voted for him and you just hoped it was going to go away when he took over. But it isn't going away. It's getting worse. He's crazy. We will all be lucky to survive having had him in charge. And even if we do survive, it will still be the greatest crisis of our lives, all our lives. Look, I don't want a President Pence, but I will take him and his policies. And I'll fight the policies, but the man, we can debate the man in 2020, in the election. This is not about policies or conservative or liberal or rigged systems or marches or making America great again. This is about a man not in his right mind, who now has nuclear weapons.
He's crazy.
It's the greatest crisis of all of our lives right now. But together we can fix it peacefully. He just has to resign, or if he won't, there are provisions for the Republicans to remove him because he is so sick.
They will not.
And then we can sleep in bed again. And you and I can go back to yelling at each other about politics and enjoying ourselves again. I thank you for listening.
Thank you.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All righty. This is just in, thrown on my desk. Thank you so much for that. Diet soda. Now they're linking diet soda in general, to stroke or dementia. There's a 3-time risk dementia from drinking diet soda. Well, I don't think that's much news. I used to drink diet soda, and I knew a lot of people who did. And, and from the onset, I was being told that diet soda was no different, actually, from regular soda. It could be, you know, diet soda is basically sugarless, supposedly sugarless. You know, but there's other risks to drinking diet soda. I knew that in the past. I used to drink it. I mean, I didn't drink it as much as I drank the other type of soda, but it's all bad for you, folks. Diet soda, regular soda, sugar, ladle soda, all of it's bad for you. All of it's bad for you. And that's why a lot of the cities and townships around the United States are putting a high tax on sugary beverages and diet colas. And they're doing it by the ounce. If you get a 12-ounce soda, you're going to pay, I think, 12 cents in tax or more, 24 cents. It depends on the how large it is, how big it is, what liter it is. And it's just bad. Soda's bad for you in general. So my thing is, I'm going to say drink. If you're going to drink anything, drink water. Water is the best thing that you can drink. I know a lot of us. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I go and get me a Coke. I get a milkshake or something. Yeah, I do it every once in a while, but I don't drink soda often. I drink it some of the times. I don't drink it often. I eat ice cream sometimes. I don't eat it often. And basically, I drink water a lot. And by me drinking water a lot, my son has grown to drink water. I mean, he was a totally soda guy. Give me a Coca-Cola. Give me an orange pop. I want a 7-Up. But now he's learning to drink water, especially when I don't buy any of that junk. He drinks water. And I'm pretty sure in his heart, he knows that water is better than an orange soda, which is nothing but sugar. That's all it is, sugar and fizz. You know, so get off of that. A lot of people have actually stopped drinking soda. I mean, the sales for Coca-Cola and a lot of other sugary crap, the sales are going down because people are starting to realize they want to live longer. They don't want to get diabetes. They don't want to get sick. You know, they don't want that. They're out there exercising every single day to control their sugar, to bring their, I'm saying if they have diabetes. And they're leaving that soda crap alone. But you got the manufacturers and the makers of these sodas really coming out hard because people have stopped drinking that crap. And cities are putting high taxes on soda. Some cities claim they're putting those high taxes on that soda bottle because they want you to stop drinking it. That's a bunch of bull. Anytime a city puts high taxes on soda or anything else, they don't want you to stop using it, because if you stop using it, they can't get those taxes. So that's a bunch of crap. You know, it's money for the city coffers, in the city coffer. That's all it's for. So, but in general, just stop drinking soda. Leave that crap alone. It will kill you in the long run. Obesity, diabetes, you name it. Sugar. Too much salt is not good for you. Too much sugar is not good for you. You have to balance those things out, and it's tough. It really is tough. But drink water, exercise. You know, everybody's going to say, hey, wow, it's hot outside. Let me go get a soda. It's hot out. Let me go get a shake of some ice cream. That's okay. It's fine to have a soda every once in a while, maybe once or twice a month. That's it. Ice cream maybe once or twice a month, but not every single day or every single time. It's going to kill you. And make sure you exercise. I've talked about this yesterday. I was talking about walking, how valuable walking is. You don't have to run. You don't have to buy running shoes or get a running uniform or anything like that. You just get out there and you walk for 30, 40, even 60 minutes a day. That will burn a lot of those pounds, and you will feel so good about it. Just stop drinking soda. Drink water. Water is a lot better. Some people, well, it's not sweet. I need something sweet. You can get used to drinking water just like you've gotten used to drinking soda. Once you get used to drinking water, you will probably never, ever go back to soda, at least not the way you've been drinking it from the start. Like I've just said, there's nothing wrong with having a soda once or twice a month, but don't overdo it. There's nothing wrong with having a donut or a piece of cake once or twice a month. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong will be if you overdo it, you know, and then it'll tell on you. But get out there and exercise. Get out there and do your duty. Get out there and if you have diabetes, one of the ways I've just got through mentioning, one of the ways that you can actually, you don't have to be pricking your fingers. I think that's annoying to some people, I would think, but it's what they have to do sometimes, pricking your fingers, dropping pills or taking insulin and stuff like that. You don't have to do any of that. Oh, and if you have diabetes, one of the surefire ways to control your sugar is to exercise. You might have heard that from your doctor. Exercise. And your doctor will always tell you, it's not what kind of foods that you're eating. It's not what kind of foods you're eating. It's how much you're eating. It's how much you can have hamburgers, donuts, you can eat French fries, anything you want, as long as you don't eat too much of it. Now, I see people sometimes out here in front of my studio. I mean, they be chugging shit down into their mouths. I mean, they be chewing and popping on something in their mouth. Their jaws are all puffed out, mouth all moving. That's wrong. You don't stuff food into your mouth like that. You're going to gain weight. And you look really silly chewing on a bunch of food in your mouth like you got a sponge or something in your mouth and chewing on it. And you walking down the street chewing on it, chewing on a bunch of food, stuffing it in your mouth. You look really silly. You think you're looking fine and cute. You look silly. And you're on your way to be 800 pounds. You have to control your portions. And I know people have heard of this before. I know you control your portions. Doctors have said you can eat anything you want. Just control the amount that you eat. If you eat a donut, cut it in half and just eat half of the donut and eat the other half in a few hours. But no, you got to have that whole donut and then you got to have another donut right after that one. And that's going to cause a lot of trouble. One of the things I've also heard that people like to eat pizzas. Some people eat more than one slice of pizza. That's wrong. But if you're going to eat a lot of pizza, make sure you get outside and you walk until you walk off those calories, or it's going to stick. It is going to stick. And gaining weight is deadly, folks. Gaining too much weight can kill you. It can kill you. Gaining weight, not watching your weight, not watching what you eat or how much you eat or when you eat. You'll get diabetes. A lot of people think diabetes is not as deadly as cancer. I beg to differ. Millions of people die from diabetes just as much as cancer every day. Because the people who can control diabetes are the ones that are going to live long. The people who can't control it, they're going to die. Or the people who find out that diabetes is so overwhelming, it's something new to them. They can't follow the regimen. They can't do this. They're going to die. Cancer, same with cancer. If you have cancer, doesn't matter what stage it is, if you have cancer, you have to treat it. There are so many people who have successfully treated treated cancer and beat it. People have treated diabetes and beat it. So any disease that you have, you can beat it. And one of the ways of beating some of these diseases is through exercise. You can get rid of heart disease through exercise. It'll be all gone. You don't have it no more. And a lot of that's one of the things I believe people actually think is that once they get a disease like cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and so on, that they cannot, that these diseases cannot be reversed. They can. People beat cancer every day. People, they don't have diabetes anymore. They don't have heart disease anymore. You can have heart disease, but you can do the right things and your heart will become as healthy as it was before you had this thing called heart disease. It's all about taking care of yourself. That's what it's all about. And exercise is your number one remedy. There is no medication like exercise and drinking water. You don't need all of these goddamn prescription pills with all of these side effects. The side effects will kill you alone. You don't need any of that. Because I've said this 1,000 times on this show, the medical industry, the drug industry, they are about keeping you sick. They want you to have diabetes. They want you to have cancer. They want you to have heart disease so they can prescribe you all this medication. You go in your bathroom, you look in your medicine cabinet, all them goddamn pills in there for this, for that, for this and that. And you don't need none of it. None of it. All you need is exercise, drinking water, and eat portions. Okay, so you get these pills in your medicine cabinet. I'm not saying do not take them. I'm just saying because if you are on medication, I would probably say take it because your body is already immune. Your body is already geared to those medications, and your body will not stand if your immune system will probably not stand if it doesn't get those kind of medications at a certain time of the day. But you can always try to wean yourself off of medication. If you're on medication, don't drop it. Don't stop taking it right away. Just kind of weed yourself off of it. If you're taking 4 or 5 to 6 or 7 kind of medications a day, try to drop down to at least 2 or 3 and then, you know, just kind of wean yourself. Don't go cold turkey without your medication because that could be deadly. But wean yourself off of them because they are all about profit. The medical industry, the drug, they're all about profit. They're all about keeping you sick. Every time you go and pick up your drugs at the pharmacy or wherever you go to pick up your drugs, they are making money. They want to keep you sick. I mean, if you weren't sick and you were feeling good every day, they wouldn't make money. They're hoping that you do get sick. Turn the tables on these people and wean yourself off of all these medications. Instead of taking all these medications, take some vitamins. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's what a pain is. Maybe it's not always dropping down pain medication. It could be you could be lacking in some type of vitamin. That can also affect your body. You know, your body needs a certain type of vitamin E, vitamin D, and all those other B12 and all this kind of thing. So get yourself some vitamins, you know. All right, Dr. George is talking. Dr. George, I'm no doctor, folks. I'm just concerned about a lot of people out here who are being taken advantage of by the drug system out here. And anybody can tell you this. Sometimes you can get a doctor who isn't in the pockets of pharmacy company, and they will tell you the same thing I'm telling you. They are out to make money. They are out to keep you sick. Keeping you sick is how they make their money. Keeping you sick is how they open their doors. Keeping you sick is how they pay for their house and their car. So you have to remember that. And if you're taking a lot of drugs, weed yourself off of them. Start exercising. Start feeling good. Start being positive about everything. Smile a little bit more. Be nice to people. And you will see how that can translate into your life, longevity. You'll live a lot longer. You'll feel a lot better. Get out there and exercise if you can. If the days are nice, the sun is out, the butterflies are flying, the birds are singing, get out there. The sun is shining. Get out there and exercise. You don't need a $50 to $100 gym membership to exercise and to feel good and to be positive about yourself while you're trying to ward off heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and other life affecting diseases that can come along as you age. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We are having a ball here, folks. We are definitely having a ball. And I want to apologize for people who are out there waiting for my guests. But, you know, things happen. Things happen. All righty. Two police officers shot in possible ambush. And that's always a possibility that when a police officer goes on a call, they may be set up and shot and killed. That's bad. I criticize police officers sometimes, but I only criticize them when I think they need it. But I don't think no police officer should be shot. They go out on a call and they get to the call and all of a sudden they get out of the cars. People start shooting at them. I would say the same thing about anybody. It doesn't have to be police officers. I don't think anybody should be shot down in cold blood, you know, out on the street somewhere. And that goes for police officers. Some of these police officers are fine women and men. Then you got a few assholes in the department. And I've talked about that quite a few times on this show. If you podcast some of those shows from 2016, 2015, you'll find out that I've said a lot. You find out I've said a mouthful on some of them shows. All righty. Hear your book mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show this week from Monday through Thursday. This is the last day. This is the last day. So I've mentioned a few books a few times on the show. We're going to try and do it again in a month or two. I'm going to try to find a better way of doing it so I can get this out, do this better way. And this is my first time doing it. So, you know, whenever you do something the first time, there's always a better way to do it. You do something the first time, you learn that there's a better way to do it. If I hadn't done it this way, like telling people to leave their link and I would talk about their book, mention their book on the show, then I wouldn't know how to actually do it. But now that I've done it, I think I know a better way of doing it. So when I say leave your link, I'm going to mention it on the show, then there'd be a much better plan. I'll have it much better planned out so it can go a little smoother than it did this week. But at least I think some people out there, they said, well, he's trying. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's 7:18 straight up Chicago time, and it's been wonderful, people. It has been great. Thanks for tuning into the show. We got about 12 more minutes into the show. Let's do this.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life? If you were going to invest now in your future best self, where would you put your time and your energy? There was a recent survey of millennials,
asking them what their most important life goals were. And over 80% said that a major life goal for them was to get rich. And another 50% of those same young adults said that another major life goal was to become famous. And we're constantly told to lean into work, to push harder and achieve more. We're given the impression that these are the things that we need to go after in order to have a good life. Pictures of entire lives, of the choices that people make and how those choices work out for them, those pictures are almost impossible to get. Most of what we know about human life, we know from asking people to remember the past. And as we know, hindsight is anything but 20/20. We forget vast amounts of what happens to us in life, and sometimes memory is downright creative. But what if we could watch entire lives as they unfold through time? What if we could study people from the time that they were teenagers all the way into old age to see what really keeps people happy and healthy? We did that. The Harvard study of adult development may be the longest study of adult life that's ever been done. For 75 years, we've tracked the lives of 724 men. Year after year, asking about their work, their home lives, their health, and of course, asking all along the way without knowing how their life stories were going to turn out. Studies like this are exceedingly rare. Almost all projects of this kind fall apart within a decade because too many people drop out of the study, or funding for the research dries up, or the researchers get distracted, or they die, and nobody moves the ball further down the field. But through a combination of luck and the persistence of several generations of researchers, this study has survived. About 60 of our original 724 men are still alive, still participating in the study, most of them in their 90s. And we are now beginning to study the more than 2,000 children of these men. And I'm the fourth director of the study. Since 1938, we've tracked the lives of two groups of men. The first group started in the study when they were sophomores at Harvard College. They all finished college during World War II, and then most went off to serve in the war. And the second group that we've followed was a group of boys from Boston's poorest neighborhoods, boys who were chosen for the study specifically because they were from some of the most troubled and disadvantaged families in the Boston of the 1930s. Most lived in tenements, many without hot and cold running water. When they entered the study, all of these teenagers were interviewed, they were given medical exams. We went to their homes and we interviewed their parents. And then these teenagers grew up into adults who entered all walks of life. They became factory workers and lawyers and bricklayers and doctors, one president of the United States. Some developed alcoholism, a few developed schizophrenia. Some climbed the social ladder from the bottom all the way to the very top, and some made that journey in the opposite direction. The founders of this study would never in their wildest dreams have imagined that I would be standing here today, 75 years later, telling you that the study still continues. Every 2 years, our patient and dedicated research staff calls up our men and asks them if we can send them yet one more set of questions about their lives. Many of the inner city Boston men ask us, "Why do you keep wanting to study me? My life just isn't that interesting." The Harvard men never ask that question. To get the clearest picture of these lives, we don't just send them questionnaires. We interview them in their living rooms. We get their medical records from their doctors. We draw their blood. We scan their brains. We talk to their children. We videotape them talking with their wives about their deepest concerns. And when about a decade ago we finally asked the wives if they would join us as members of the study, many of the women said, you know, it's about time. So what have we learned? What are the lessons that come from the tens of thousands of pages of information that we've generated on these lives? Well, the lessons aren't about wealth or fame or working harder and harder. The clearest message that we get from this 75-year study is this: good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. We've learned three big lessons.
All right, you are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, it's been a blessing. It's been great. I hope you join me next week on the George Wilder Jr. Show, where we're going to have, we're all scheduled for some great guests to be on the show. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. So we're going to check out right here, and we're going to do this. We're going to check out right here, and I hope to see you back here on the George Wilder Jr. Show starting Monday. And we're on Monday through Thursday, folks. All right, we're going to do this.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Yeah.
Dracula. I got to get in the shower. This way. Get in the shower. I might get it tomorrow. Possibility I'll get it tomorrow.